live from the Aldborough Festival. Friday night in Radio 3 Live in Concert from 7:30.
We have a concert edition of Jazz Lineup in an hour from now. Presenter Claire Martin joins the BBC Big Band and Barry Forgy at 11. Now, though, at just after 10 o'clock on Radio 3, time for World Roots. And this is also a concert edition of the programme, a recording from last weekend from the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall, introduced by Max Reinhardt.
It doesn't matter how bad things are. If you pull together, you can turn the situation around and come out of the darkness stronger and more confident. And some people might say, not me of course, that Liverpool is a good place to try that theory out. That quote came from the band The Imagine Village. They're in the middle of an 18-date tour that has been taking them to some of the most beautiful towns and cities of England. The Imagine Village is a kind of electric folk supergroup. The members include English folk legend Martin Carthy, and some of the leading singers of the newer generation of folk singers, like Martin's daughter Liza Carthy and Jackie Oates. There's also British Asian musicians, the sitar player Shima Mukherjee and percussionist Johnny Kalsi, and the whole thing is driven along by guitar and sitar player, and indeed general electronics wizard, Simon Emerson. The band started in 2004, named after a book by the author Georgina Boys. They say they want to use English folk music and newly composed pieces with the aim of reflecting on what it is to be authentic and English. I'll be talking to Simon Emerson later on, as well as to Martin Carthy and Shima Mukherjee. And I'll be sure to ask them about that and about that quote about coming out of the darkness. And so, on a very bright and sunny spring evening here in Liverpool, here are the Imagine Village.
She was bound for New York in America. Her captain in his cabin lay. Neptune came to him and this it say, prepare yourself. Tomorrow night, you shall play with me. killed my wife and my children three, through strong and violent jealousy. On my best friend I lay the blame, and I watched him hang on a cow's frame. At these words a great storm did rise, which did the mariners all surprise. The sea rose up
was the New York Trader, and this is My Son John, which I first heard Tim Hart and Maddie Pryor sing very long time ago, and it's a Peninsular War song, and it's one of those songs that can certainly stand a little bit of tweaking. My Son John. My son John was tall and slim, and he had a leg for every limb. Now he's got no legs at all, 'cause he ran a race with a cannonball, with a cannonball. He ran a race with a cannonball. Now Jack the lad, he went off to war, away bye bye as he ran out the door. Says bye bye John, when I see you again, you'll be back from Iraq, from Afghanistan, from the Taliban. You'll be back from Iraq and Afghanistan. I sat down each day on the shore for the space of 7 long years or more, till a big transport come across the sky. I shouted aloud, will you clear the way, clear the way. I shouted aloud, will you clear the way? I shouted aloud to the captain, said, are you here with the living, are you back with the dead? Do you
see anything of my son John? Is the boy living or is he gone? Is he gone? Is the poor boy living or is he gone? Then up come John and he's got no legs, got carbon fiber blades instead. Smile as she kissed him over and over. I bet you run quicker than you did before. You did before. Bet you run quicker than you did before. Deaf, were you blind when you left your own two legs behind? Or did you go walking upon the sea to shrink your two legs down to the knee, down to the knee? Or to shrink your two legs down to the knee? Oh, I was not deaf and I was not blind when I left my own two legs behind. But a thundering landmine jumped in the way, wore these legs right down to the knee, down to the knee. Wore these legs right down to the knee. I was tall, I was slim, I had a leg for every limb. Then chicken hawks come knock, knocking at the door. Cool Britannia called for war, she called for war. Cool Britannia called for war. Britannia called for war with all those chicken hooks stood out of the door. So cluster bombs like youth so corn, you better stay away from the harvest home, the harvest home. You better run a mile from the harvest home. My son John was tall and slim, and he had a leg for every limb. Now he's got no legs at all, 'cause he run a race with a cannonball, with a cannonball. He run a race with a cannonball.
The incredible Mr. Martin Carthy.
And that was Martin Carthy and the Imagine Village singing My Son John. And we're here at the Philharmonic Hall in Liverpool. And I'm about to speak to the founder and guru of the Imagine Village, Simon Emerson. Hi, Simon.
More of a founder than a guru, I think.
We've known each other for many years.
Mid-80s. used to DJ in a club in Brixton.
The Mambo Inn.
That was before world music was invented, I think.
That's true. And it was also before the Afro Celts were invented.
It was a long time before the Afro Celts.
But how do you get from there to what you're doing with English folk?
It was a very simple step, really. The whole process is returning to my own roots, which is an English musician. And there was conversations I was having on the Afro Celt tour bus with musicians like Johnny Kelsey and Shima Mukherjee, of course, from Transglobal Underground. She'd always wanted to play with Martin Carfi. Johnny kept saying, what is it with English musicians? Why are they so blind to their own roots and their own music? And at the same time, I didn't realise this, but there was a resurgence through Eliza Carfi and the whole concept of Anglicana.
And why did you call the project, or the band as it is now really, the Imagine Village?
I think it's a long tradition of bands naming themselves after books.
And this is Georgina...
Georgina Boyce wrote a book which I read, and she cast a big fundamental question mark over the way the traditional English songbook had been collected by the Victorian collectors like Cecil Sharp and Vaughan Williams, and how they had tried to airbrush out the stuff that didn't fit into the concept of the English idyll.
And what kind of stuff would that have been?
Well, I mean, all the songs about, you know, infanticide and poverty and incest and the kind of grim reality of, you know, rural life at the time, and how they really were looking for, she was claiming, a more kind of patriotic national music that could be played in the Victorian parlours, and was a sort of soundtrack to the rise of, I guess, colonialism, late Victorian colonialism. It's a controversial theory, because if you talk to Martin, he would say, I mean, Cecil Sharp is one of his heroes. But what I think was great about the book was it opened up the whole concept of what tradition is, and the fact that it's an evolving tradition, and anyone who claims ownership of it is fairly suspect. So that's why we called it the Imagine Village.
But now it's, what, 6-7 years on, and how has it evolved?
Well, the first album was effectively a compilation, a project album with different producers and different musicians. The second album was our attempt to create a band album, largely based around the Martin Carfi songbook. So we did Biker Hill, he rewrote My Son John, Scarborough Fair. There were some original compositions as well. The new album, we wanted to primarily write new material and see what happened creating new music. So it was our most ambitious album. At one point, I thought we'd made the classic difficult third album. And to our utter amazement, it's been out for 2 weeks and it has gone into the BBC Independent Charts at 14. They've completely sold out. We're doing a repressing in the first week, and we were expecting to do that in 2 months. It's been amazing.
That's excellent news. You've changed record labels, haven't you?
We've got our own record label, yeah.
Oh, I see.
The first album was out on Real World. They've just reissued it, actually. And we now have our own label. We run the band as a cooperative, and we're all equal partners. I mean, that is kind of the only way to go, I think, these days. And I'm very proud of that, actually. It's as close as you can get to workers' control. Actually, it is workers' control.
It's we back own to your Marxist anarchist roots.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, we own and control our own product, and I'm the boss, which is fantastic.
So it's got so the way you like it. Okay,
so there's a bit of Stalinism in there as well.
Well, perhaps that's what Bending the Dark means. What does Bending the Dark mean?
Okay, well, you can ask Shima this, and she'll tell you that it was a typo. It was meant to be Bending the Dark. I'll let Shima answer that one. I like Bending the Dark because we're in dark times. It is a dark record as well. I mean, we open up with a murder ballad, and it gets darker. There's a lot of humour in the record as well. But I just think Bending the Dark is a metaphor for optimism. And it's a metaphor of trying to come out of dark times and give people a sense of kind of the future and a bit of hope, yeah.
As a young man, I burned my tools. Now I have no chance to sit on. When I was a young man, I raised my fields. Now I have no fruit to suck on. They say I am a sick old man. See my sick old frame. Smell my death as I pass by you. My sick old wife, she ends her life waving at the old front door. Giving off a wisdom that she never had, never had, never had before. Oh, what care I for goose feather bed? Langenstern so brave feel. Tonight I'll sleep in a cold open field in the arms of the raggle taggle gypsy. Oh, what care I for goose feather bed? Langenstern so brave feel. Tonight I'll sleep in a cold open field in the arms of the raggle taggle gypsy. All about our door, she's come with a raggle-taggle gypsy. When I was a young man, I ground my knives. Now I have no friends to call on. When I was a young man, I cracked my eyes. Now I have sharp glass to crawl on. Oh, the days of wealth and ease, when I had dark oil for burning. Oh, I was a young man with my golden pipe. Now I am too sick for learning. And I will blame the wanderer, I will blame the poor, I will blame the ragged man knocking at my door. And I'll blame his wife and ragged children crying at my feet. And send them into Yarl's Wood, my vengeance there, vengeance there, vengeance there to eat. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're listening to a live concert by the Imagine Village here at the Philharmonic Hall in Liverpool. And that was a tune by Ali Friend, who's a bass player in the band, and it was called The Governor. And the exquisite sitar on it was being played by Seema Mukherjee. So has this Imagine Village band got a governor, or is it a strange anarchist collective?
Oh, I don't know, really. It depends on the song. Each song has its own governor. Put it that way. Okay. Because what normally happens is we have one person who will throw this rough arrangement into the group and see who wants to do what, and that's what I did with Ali's song, the track The Governor, and I put the little melody, and then Jackie put a Cornish melody on there as well. A lot of these tracks, actually, we worked whilst we were gigging last year. We worked on them in sound checks and actually performing them live, and they kind of evolved and grew.
How easy is it, as a sitarist, to fit in with the key changes of the rest of the band?
Now, actually, it makes, from a writer's perspective, a little bit easier because you're not used to hearing in the same way. So, for example, if I were composing something which was Indian, I would be pulled towards sticking to the modes and stuff like that. Whereas, for example, The Governor is in the key of E, and my sitar is in the key of D, so I have to be careful. And sometimes when you hear those odd notes that come in, it takes something somewhere else. I don't like to be safe on an instrument. I like to be able to see where you can go with something and different sounds. But it is difficult because, you know, I've got drone strings. I have to be very careful about not touching any of them.
And is that one of the things that appealed to you about this project, the fact that you can kind of take the sitar beyond?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I have to say, I've learnt an incredible amount. I mean, I grew up in London. I didn't have any experience of English traditional music. I mean, maybe the grandfather clock was just tall for the shelf, and that was about it. And then meeting Martin, how he plays the guitar, the timing on it, it's almost like there's a bit of pressure on the timing. It's not absolute straight timing. I mean, I had no idea there was all this music that was available. And I think there's a lot of people, because it's not mainstream, that would be in my position that wouldn't have a clue. And my main thing is melody. And the melodies are so strong. And that was the thing that really appealed to me. And every day I'm learning something. Like today in the sound check, we were noodling, and then Martin came up with something else and I play along. And it's just a very natural process.
And Bending the Dark, What does that title mean to you?
Bending the Dark was actually a typo. What happened was, I thought, okay, well, let's go back to my roots, which is the heroic note in the Indian scale. Well, it's tar, which is the sixth note. The fifth is joy, the fourth is romance. You know, we've got feelings or moods for each, or characters of each note. But the opposite to that was disgusting, because there's two. You know, there's the counter character. So Bending the Dar was originally the thing. And when the typo happened, and I can't remember how it actually happened, we thought we would just leave it because it means so many different things to so many different people. It was just one of those things that just clicked into place.
Weather is
and I
Okay, this is Billy Bragg's reworking of the Copper Family song, Hard Times of Old England. My family have farmed by horse and by tractor, by hoe and by hand. That won't see off the bank's latest demand.
Oh, the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times.
Time was I could sell all I grew at the shop. Then Tesco's turned up, all of that I had to stop. Now I can't get a living from out of my crop.
Oh, the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times.
More and more of our village gets sold every day to folk from the city who are happy to pay for their holiday cottage to stand empty all day.
Oh, the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times.
The countryside alliance expected, I suppose, my support when they were marching to bloody bless nose. They said not a word when our post office closed.
Oh, the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times.
A hedgerow's my grandfather.
intended have gone, and with them the lapwing and the corncrake sad song, and I think I'll be following them before long.
All the hard times of old England, in old England, very hard times. So now to conclude and to finish my song, let's hope that these hard times, they will not last long. And I may soon have occasion for to alter my song, sing all the good times of old England, in old England, very good
for the newest member of the band, Jed Lynch. Simon Emerson. Ali Friend. Simon Richmond. Barney Morse Brown. The good fairy, Miss Jackie Oates. One of these days, I'm just not going to let him go. Johnny Kelsey. Martin Carthy.
So, Hard Times of Old England with vocals by Martin Carthy, who I'm about to speak to. Aren't
Hello.
I?
You are.
Good. Imagine Village. What do you want to get involved in a thing like this for?
Well, Simon asked me if I fancied doing it, and why not? Anything to explore and anything to find out. That's what music is, as far as I'm concerned, is finding out more.
So would you say that there's no such thing as authentic folk?
What's happened in the last 50 years has been a revival of popular music, and that means the old stuff and the new stuff. The old stuff that stays old, the old stuff that gets reworked, sometimes tweaked, rewritten, like the Hard Times of Old England. It doesn't replace the old one. It means you've now got two Hard Times of Old England.
So tell us a bit about where Hard Times of Old England comes from.
As far as I understand it, Hard Times of Old England came from the depression of the 20s, that is to say the 1820s, which followed the Napoleonic Wars, as did the Depression here follow the Great War, the First World War. I used to sing the song in its original form and be perfectly happy to sing it. It all made perfect sense 150, 70, 80 years later. When it came to doing the Imagined Village, one of the things that Simon wanted was a deliberate new look at some of the old songs.
And so it's a song about hard times.
It's a song about it's tough being in the country, because I mean, I live in a village, and the local school, when we first moved in, had 130, 140 pupils. Now it's got 50, 45 to 50. And some of the beautiful houses are being bought by people who don't live in them.
Yeah.
You know, the house next to us, it's a 6-bedroom house, and it sits there empty, except at Easter, Christmas, somebody's birthday. You can't help but feel it's not right.
I've got another political question to ask you. Simon said that, you know, on the way to getting to the Imagined Village, people said to him, why are English musicians, you know, very reluctant to embrace English roots music?
The English seem to be very scared of being English. It's okay to be Irish, it's okay to be Scots. But I can remember some of the discussions we had when Imagine Village up on the stage, and people out in the audience were actually saying, it's racist. And we said, but do you feel that way about St. Patrick's Day, about Irish people? No. Do you feel the same about Scots? No. Why English? And I think it might be something to do with the English not being able to distinguish between British and English. You know, that might be something to do with it, because the British have a fairly ugly history, and the English are a part of that.
So when you do Come On Feel the Noise, which we're going to hear you do live very soon, I think, would you say that was folk, or would you say that
it's Noddy Holden? I don't know. The older I get, the more I believe in the idea of people's music. And that's not necessarily just traditional folk music. It's Noddy Holder. It's anybody. It's Chuck Berry, you know. Ian Dury had it.
I am interested in Come On Feel the Noise. When you first heard it 30 years ago or something, did you think, I want to sing that? Or has it grown upon you more recently?
Boy, I love Slade. I love Noddy Holder. I think he's a fabulous singer. What happened was that Simon, we were in the studio, and Simon was talking about the song and saying he'd been singing it, because he does these forest school camps, and at the end of it, end of the day, they all sit round a fire and they sing songs, and they sing the usual stuff that you would imagine people would sing around campfires. You know, they have songbooks, and somebody broke into Come On Feel the Noise, and everybody joined in. You know, Simon's sitting there looking around and thinking, hello, what's going on here? And somebody said, oh, you ought to get Marty Carthy to sing that. And everybody went, ha, 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 ha. And he came back to the studio and said, what do you think? So I handed me the words, said, there's the chords. And I said, those aren't the chords, these are the chords. And you know, as I read the words, you just realised that this is a far more poignant song than Noddy lets on to begin with.
So you think I got an evil mind? I tell you, honey, I don't know why. I don't know why. And you think my singing's out of time? Oh, it makes me money. And I don't know why. I don't know why anymore. So come on, feel the noise. Girls, grab your boys. We'll get wild, wild, wild till dawn. I
And you think I got a funny face? I'm in no hurry, and I don't know why. I don't know why. Think I'm a scumbag and that's no disgrace. I got no honey, and I don't know why. I don't know why anymore. So
come on, feel the noise. Girls, grab your boys.
We'll get
wild, wild, wild.
We'll get
wild.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, grab your boys. We'll get
wild, wild, wild.
We'll get
wild, wild, wild.
Till dawn.
That was the Imagine Village here at the Liverpool Philharmonic. The band was Liza Carthy and Jackie Oates singing and playing the fiddles, Martin Carthy on guitar and vocals, Seema Mukherjee on sitar and vocals, Barney Morse Brown on cello, guitar and vocals, Johnny Calsey, even he did some vocals as well as playing amazing percussion, Jed Lynch playing the drums, Simon Richmond on keyboard and electronics, Ali Friend on bass, and Simon Emerson, the guru, on guitar and sitar. The next date on their tour is in Basingstoke on June the 15th. Then they go to Lincoln and the Sunrise Festival in Somerset. And there are more dates in July and August. And now, to end, Liza Carthy singing The Washing Song.
Hush-a-bye, my darling, hush-a-bye, my darling hands. Now I'll wash them feet, now I'll wash them. Handsome you, my young one, fair and smooth, your body clothes made of silk so fine. Each day put strength upon you, my darling sweet, with your hair a-curling. King of stars, blessings on you, oh my heart, my joy. In mourning that which grows not by the night time's growing hands, now I'll wash them feet, now I'll wash them. In noon that which grows not by the night time's growing hand puts on every grace. Each day puts beauty on you, my darling sweet, with your hair a-curling. King of stars, my joy. Hushabye, my darling, hushabye, my darling hands. Now I'll wash them feet, now I'll wash them. Handsome you, my young one, fair and smooth, your body clothes made of silk so fine. Each day put strength upon you, my darling sweet, with your hair a curling. King of stars, blessings on you, oh my heart, my joy, oh my heart, my joy.
Imagined Village playing last weekend at the Liverpool Philharmonic Hall. World Roots was introduced tonight by Max Reinhardt. Next week, Lucy Duran is back with a review of new albums of world music, and that's Sunday evening at the later time of 10:30.
Hello, I'm Jez Nelson, and on tomorrow night's Jazz on 3, I'll be bringing you the most talked about gig of the year so far. Robert Glasper's ideas of what jazz can sound like have led his music to the top of the jazz and urban music charts.
That's what jazz is supposed to be, a reflection of the society of the time you're in it. It needs to change, it has to grow, because it's been around for so long, you know. I want to mix it up, I want to make sounds that I haven't heard before.
The Robert Glasper Experiment, tomorrow night at 11, here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, tomorrow evening on Radio 3, we have a landmark edition of Night Waves. Philip Dodd and guests consider Muriel Spark's 1961 novel The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie. That's at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, and it's followed by the first in a new series of essays looking at how ageing affects creative artists. That's at 10:45 tomorrow. This is BBC Radio 3, 11 o'clock now. Time for a concert edition of Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Thank you very much. Well, good evening from the Perth Concert Hall. As Jazz Lineup comes to this concert hall for the first time, that boasts the title Scotland's newest concert hall. It was built in 2005. Joining me tonight is one of the UK's most sensational saxophonists, Nigel Hitchcock, all accompanied by the incomparable BBC Big Band under the direction of Barry Forgy. Many of the items you will hear are specially arranged for tonight's concert by tonight's conductor. But we start with a big band treasure from arranger Bill Holman, a one-time saxophonist in the Stan Kenton Band. But it's timeless music we hear tonight in a chart that was recorded by iconic trumpeter Doc Severinsen for the American Tonight Show. Let's hear The World is Waiting for the Sunrise.
Thank you.
published in 1919, nearly as old as the producer of this programme. The World is Waiting for a Sunrise was written by Gene Lockhart and Ernest Seitz, and that arrangement was by Bill Holman, solos by Martin Shaw and Dave O'Higgins. Another big band writer and arranger, pianist Bob Florence, wrote a number of charts exclusively for this band, an honour indeed, and we hear one of them now, and it's Broadway.
Thank you.
Broadway, arranged by Bob Florence, with features for Martin Shaw on trumpet. The fabulous Robin Aspland on piano. Robin Aspland. Jeremy Brown on bass. Well, we've met Barry Forgy. I think it's now time that we meet the band. Please welcome on the saxophones Howard McGill, Sammy Main, Dave O'Higgins, Mike Hope, and Stuart Forbes, the saxophone section. On the trombones, Gordon Campbell, Andy Wood, Ashley Horton, and John Higginbottom. You can wave at them, it makes them happy, look. Just wave back. There you go. On the trumpets, Andy Greenwood, Danny Marsden, Brian Rankin, and Martin Shaw. And finally, the rhythm section on the piano, Robin Aspland, on the guitar, Ian Laws, on the bass, Jeremy Brown, and the drums, Tom Gordon. And, of course, all conducted by Barry Forgy. But it's time to bring on our special star guest tonight. He was virtually born with the alto saxophone in his hand from the age of 8. Both he and his brother were members of the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, and for 5 years he took the lead alto chair in that band. And you'll have heard Nigel on countless award-winning recordings in many genres. To play a Barry Forgy arrangement of a great bop tune, Anthropology, which tonight we're dedicating to Scottish trumpeter Jimmy Duker, please welcome Nigel Hitchcock on alto saxophone. Nigel Hitchcock.
Thank you.
Anthropology with Nigel Hitchcock on alto sax. And take you Jimmy Duca's solo.